Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Jim Ahern got in touch with us here at Lunchtime Live. Jim, you're the co-owner of TradePath and a bricklayer by trade. You got in contact to talk about our apprenticeship programme. How easy is it to get an apprenticeship at the moment?
Currently, it's virtually impossible for any young child, any young man leaving or girl leaving school at 18, unless they know a contractor or so, some builder that will actually give them the trade. We're working on a policy that was used in the 70s where you went out, you found an employer, and then you go to Solace, and then Solace kicks in with the trade training, which is fabulous. But there's nowhere really for anybody to actually go and find an apprenticeship. The jobs aren't there. Now, Solace does have some jobs advertised, but not a whole lot. Employers would advertise with Solace, and they would put that up on their page. But what we're having is what we need is a change on how young people can access the trades.
So just to explain, Jim, sorry to cut across you for a moment. So just to explain, like if we here, for instance, at News Talk decided that we were going to run a radio apprenticeship, we would contact Solace, they would design the programme, they would advertise the apprenticeship that somebody coming out of school at 18 or 17 years of age can apply to us to do their radio apprenticeship. So is it the employer or the business that contacts Solace in the first instance to set up this scheme?
Absolutely. So we'd say, if, for instance, you wanted to become an electrician or a plumber, you have to first of all find an employer who's willing to give you a four-year contract or a four-year apprenticeship. And then the employer will register you with us. It's very hard for anybody 18 to go out and find anybody that wants to take anybody on. And especially now, since the construction industry has moved on from what it was going back 20 years ago, when there was loads of builders, there's now very few. There's a lot of subcontractors. Some contractors wouldn't have maybe 6 months' work ahead of them. They couldn't guarantee 4 years' work. The trade path model helps with that. So we have a thing called a shared apprenticeship scheme. So the subcontractor can take on someone for 6 months, give them back the trade path, and then we'd find them another employer. So we're really trying to get this going at the lower levels so that more young people can access smaller builders, smaller subcontractors, and get a trade.
You see, I would have assumed that Solace would set up the apprenticeship with the likes of yourself as the bricklayer or the plumber or whoever it is.
No, you must approach Solace. Solace are a college, they're not an employer. Solace are a teaching college. So we had a meeting with the Solace and the NAO about 8 weeks ago about this, trying to push this ahead. But there was no appetite for it. They weren't interested. They reckon that, you know, there's enough apprentices in the country and that the foreigners are building Ireland anyway. So this is really kind of not fair on the young people that we need to give them all starts. Now, there's a new policy coming up where they're changing the four-year apprenticeship to 2.5 years. Not sure why they're doing that, but that needs to be questioned as well.
But I presume, is it to get people out? I mean, because the apprenticeship as it stands at 4 years, like 4 years seems, I would have thought, quite long. So that's nearly a master's degree.
You need to do 4 years in most trades to get a proper qualification.
Really? Okay.
I mean, the first year that you're doing, you're really looking and learning, and then you have another year of making mistakes. Some guys get very good in the second year, but they're exceptional. And by the fourth year, you're generally very good, and you can kind of work on your own. So that policy should stay in place. I mean, one time it was 7 years, you know. Now, the other problem we're having in the country as well, and maybe this is why they're bringing in the 2.5 year plan, is that we have no licensing system in the country for builders or tradesmen. So anybody can go into a shop, pick up a can of something to fix a roof, arrive at your door in a van and say, I'm a roofer. Like, that sort of thing needs to change as well, you know. We need a licensing system bought in, and we've been onto the government to do this. We're getting good response from a few. James Lawless has been very good responding to us as well, you know.
So you can operate as a plumber or an electrician. Obviously, you need to have the qualifications, but you do need to be registered to do that.
You do. The electricians have registered, so does the gas. But not, I mean, someone can still go in and do. You can shift the rat around and do things without licenses. The problem that you're having, like, a licensing system is all over the world. We'd say the Australian model is probably the best one to look at. You can't do any work over $5,000 in Australia unless you have a license from the government. This protects the homeowner, and it protects the person that's doing the job as well. Everybody gets paid. There's no cash involved. Anything under $5,000 is left alone. In other words, someone can cut your grass. It doesn't need a license for that. Now, the problem I have with Solace is Solace recognises a lot of trades like bricklaying, carpentry, painting, plastering, plumbing, scaffolding, stone cutting, and other few of those things. Things that they will not train as a trade. And something that we're very upset about is that roofing is not a formal national apprentice program. And there's so many different types of roofs now, whether they're metal and all the new products. Mm. It needs to be recognised as a trade.
Should look at how many houses do we need built over the next number of years? Who's going to build them?
And it's about standards. I mean, I done a house report there lately, and I put up a list of stuff that was wrong on the roof. This was a brand new house. And the foreman couldn't believe I was picking the mistakes. I said, look, this is wrong and that's wrong. Brand new house. The other thing they don't do is glazing. Glazing is not on their list. Floor and wall tiling. Can you imagine? Tiling is not a trade.
So what is a trade then?
Well, these are trades that Solus won't recognise as a trade and will not bring in as a trading scheme. Now, tiling was a trade up to, I think, 2000 and, oh God, I think maybe 12. And then it was dropped, you know. I know we've all the new trades that should be bought in, installation. They should all be bought in under it, you know.
So at the moment, you can do it, you can, you know, you can participate or you can do a trade in plumbing, in electrical work and carpentry, but in tiling and roofing. These aren't categorised as trades.
Nope, they're ignored and they don't want it. I mean, when we had the meeting with the National Apprentice Office, they said they couldn't even expand the apprenticeships because they cannot get facilities to train the people, and they couldn't get teachers. Now, we had a guy by the name of Jamie Groom in with us, and Jamie said to him, "We can supply all the instructors you need." You know. So the whole thing needs to be looked at, and it needs to be looked at quick. We have a housing problem. Mm. We have another problem that we can't get workers, and we're happy to bring guys into the country who probably haven't got any apprenticeships done, training done anywhere. And if the licensing system came in, it might expose all this. And maybe that's why the CIF aren't happy to drive on with it.
So there's two issues in your in your mind, Jim. There's two issues. There's the fact that we've people operating in houses and businesses across the country that are registered with nobody through no fault of their own, because they don't have to be. They don't have to have a license to operate, you know, as a building contractor. And separately, your argument is that we're not offering enough apprenticeships to young people.
That's absolutely correct. And I suppose the downfall of the licensing situation, and we have a company that we do, we're the guys that go insurance call-outs. We're the guys that arrive on in your property in the middle of a storm when your roof is hanging off. But what we come across a lot is substandard work. That a lot of our stuff is that the roofs aren't done correctly with guys that go up on them. Now, that may be no true fault of their own, because there is no training, official training for it. So one guy is teaching the next guy, and then you end up with a mess. We have other people that would arrive at houses to vulnerable people and old people, and they would be taking a lot of money off them and doing an awful lot of bad work and walking away. We come across that regularly. A licensing system would prevent all this. And of course, the licensing
I presume
system
a lot
would...
of people won't want that, because there'd be a cost of being registered. Like, once you bring in a level, you know, a registration process, there's cost involved.
Well, the registration problem would be free, because it would be government backed. It wouldn't, like, you couldn't have this run by a private company like the CIF or anything to do with the construction industry. It would have to be taken away separate from them. No, the CIF has this handed to them in 2014. The government handed the licensing system over to the CIF, and it has just sat on the table. They don't want to engage with it. And we're all at the cost of this. It's costing everyone. So it needs to be taken away from the CIF. And it needs to be run by the government, and it needs to be tidied up in the country. It'll be a free system. Like, it just means that if somebody comes to your door right now, you're not sure whether that's a good contractor, a bad contractor. Will the work be right? Will I lose money here? Am I in trouble? That's the first thing we meet every time we go into people's homes. And I'm not the only contractor that's getting this. Whereas with the licensing system, and you arrive with your proper license, you are government registered. It's a free service, but the person in the house has a guarantee. They know that you have insurance. They know you're paying PRSI. They know you're paying tax. And it makes a very, very level playing field. It also gives you the opportunity, because you know that you're registered and nobody can come in and do bad work. You can now train up new apprentices. So I don't think you could do one without the other. I think you need the licensing system to move on the apprentice program.
The other thing, just on this as well, Jim, you are a bricklayer by trade. I mentioned at the start, you're the co-owner of Trade Path. What's your involvement in apprenticeships here? What do you do there?
Well, Trade Path is a company we set up to try and stimulate the industry and give the lower, we say, the subcontractors and other people outside of the big industries to take on apprentices, because they wouldn't have a four-year plan. But we go, for example, Dublin County Council, City Council, right? I think they have 37 apprentices on with them at the moment, which is very good, right? Mm. Cork County Council has none. The ESB would have 300 apprentices over the four-year period. Mm. You know, the numbers are small. I went up and I looked at BAM. I found they had 300 apprentices between the UK and Ireland. Not sure how many they have in Ireland. I couldn't find it. Possibly none. So the right thing
know.
To do
yeah,
is...
You don't know, yeah.
We don't know. Now, there's like 21 billion money of a turnover in the construction industry in Ireland. And I think we should have a levy on that to fund the apprentice programmes. I mean, there's no point all the developers making all the money and not feeding back into the ore industry and subsidising the apprenticeship programme. If they don't want to take on apprentices, at least let other small builders that wouldn't be able to afford to do it access the fund.
Well, I presume running the apprenticeship, the cost is on you as the employer, is it? You have to make sure you have to pay the apprentice. Yeah.
Absolutely, but you're also getting a person that's working. I mean, it's not that expensive. I think the apprentice rates need to come up as well. The apprentice rates are very small. I mean, they need to start on minimum wage, basic. That needs to change. I don't know why it's stuck down at the 8 and 9 euros level. That's not fair. Let's bring it up, you know.
1800 453 106, the number if you want to join us. Jim, stay with me on the line. Shannon Conroy is the owner of Mac and Re Tiling. Shannon, have you had people approach you to do apprenticeships?
No, not really. Like, you're out there looking for apprentices. You don't have a lot of people coming up to approach you for apprenticeships because tiling's not an apprenticeship. So it's very, very, very difficult to train somebody when they're not certified and they're going to get nothing out of it in the end.
Yeah. So there's no apprenticeship in tiling, basically. Anyone can decide.
Not since 2011. So whatever people come up to you and look for a job, they're going to get want to be put on these big wages, and they have no training, no fault of their own, because they don't have an avenue to go down to get the training. And then you've got to train them, you've got to support their wage, you've got to fix the mistakes that happen, which is what an apprenticeship goes through, because it's about making mistakes and learning from the mistakes and learning the process. So you have this big void. You have an unbelievable void. Like my parents, when I grew up, my dad was a tiler. I didn't do my apprenticeship with a tiler. I had to travel to Sydney because my father, the only tiler that he would let me go with was Con Horgan, which was a very, very good tiling company. And that's where I learnt, do you know? But they wouldn't have let me leave school to become nothing without that trade papers.
Is it frustrating for you as somebody in the business that now we no longer have the likes of an apprenticeship in your area in tiling?
Beyond frustrating. It's beyond frustrating. Like what Jim's saying, this licensing is so crucial to building a good, fertile ground for trades, because everyone's on the same path. Everyone's on the same page. We all know which direction we're going in and who has recommended through their licensing and things like that. Like, you can't have this system with no licensing, because now you have a free-for-all of knowledge. You can't go back to, if there was an Irish standard, like there is an Australian standard, and if something was being done that wasn't correct, you would have something to fall back on and everyone's on the same page. We don't have that here.
So when you came over and you're working in Ireland, you obviously see, Shannon, there's a huge disparity then in the standards.
Massive disparity. Like when I first came here, 2016, waterproofing I go on about a lot. The knowledge for waterproofing just isn't there. And like, that's the membrane that goes on behind tiles. In the last 4 years, it's really kind of picked up and taken off, but there's still a big gap in knowledge because it's not pushed enough where there is that standard. Mm. And when I first came here, 2016, I was blown away by the way things are done and what to do. But at the same time, I can't knock it because it gave me a really big leg up because it helped me grow my business.
Okay.
But then you can't expand because you can't grow because you don't have the men.
And even if you were to take people up today and train them up, and even though we don't have an official tiling apprenticeship, I mean, sure, I could start working with you today, you know, get all of the knowledge, have you pay me, Shannon, and then leave and go to your direct competitor tomorrow morning.
Oh, 100%, and that's what happens, you know. I have one lad now that's training, and he's on minimum wage, like what Jim just said prior, like that's where I've got to put him. And only because his attitude is really well, you know he's going to come good. But there's a lot of things there that we call it TAFE, where you have solace, okay? And there's a lot of things there that help. Like there's incentives that the Australian government will give apprentices. Like if you're looking for a priority trade, the government will help the employer. They'll give them tax rebates. They'll give them federal incentives for priority trade.
Yeah.
Then, like, apprentices will get a 20% discount on loans.
So you're
tools,
incentivized
for
to take
you're
on.
You're incentivized.
Yes.
And it doesn't even matter. You don't even have to be a priority trade to get a tool allowance of $1,000 to $2,000 to start, so you have a bit of a toolkit while you're walking into this trade.
Donnac O'Loughlin from ecoplum.ie is joining us as well, Shannon. Would something like that work if more trades businesses, Donnac, were incentivised to take on young people looking for to start out in an apprenticeship?
Good afternoon. I'm 100%, I'd have to agree with that. I have to agree wholeheartedly with both your previous speakers, and an awful lot of wisdom in there. And that's where all wisdom comes from, the trades. And we have to start thinking in terms of short-termism. We need the government to take responsibility, three-generational, looking ahead. It's very simple. In Germany, as I've spoken before, the government, the local corporations, now, I know it's a bigger population, they're paying the apprenticeship wages. The wages are the same everywhere. Somebody approached me about would I take them on? I'd actually love to take them on at the moment, kind of on the wind down, but like we have an opportunity. It's quite expensive. It's still quite expensive to take somebody on if you're a sole trader, because your insurance goes up straight away by 100%. Mm. Your accountancy thing goes up by 100%. Like, I don't get paid for a month sometimes. I got 4-year apprentices. You go from 200 to 300 euros at the start initially to 850 euros at the end, and try and come up without an employer every week. You're looking for them every Monday. They could be throwing excuses, whatever, and then and they're looking for you every Friday. And I have no problem paying people and rewarding people for good work. You could train somebody. Your production is down by 40%, but you want to give a good education to somebody, you know.
Mm.
And you want, was it Socrates or whoever said, the pupil should always pass out the master, and that's the responsibility for every generation. It's been de-incentivized. And I understand, in particular, as a plumber, as an RGI registered somebody, somebody's done off-tech training, solar training, all my insurance is in contempt. I can't do any work until I'm up to date with my tax, my VAT, all my accreditation and paperwork. It's a 7-day-a-week job working for yourself. I'm doing it 25 years. I love it. I get a great kick out of it. It is very rewarding, but it's very tough. I took on an apprentice there a year and a half ago. I took on so much work. He left me in the lurch. He went to Cork because there was no social scene in Clonakilty, and he was going to get 50 euros extra a week in Cork. So he's gone to Cork. I had all his work to do. And I had to walk into an A&E about a year later with an atrial flutter. And the nurse looked at me. She said, "What do you do?" I said, "I'm a self-employed plumber." She said, "Always flipping electricians and plumbers." And she didn't use flipping. It's always you guys coming in.
Okay.
So I had to give up the coffee.
Right.
So it's expensive, and we need level the playing field.
Kieran Breen, you're in the construction field, Kieran. I mean, what's your experience? How do you think we could possibly improve the apprenticeship program here?
I have always thought that apprentices should receive the dole. That there should be, that the government should step in, because the way I'm seeing it at the moment is that you're paying a young guy, you're paying him minimum wage or whatever you're paying him, and all he's doing for the first 2 years is he's standing around looking at you you're teaching him what to do. So essentially, you have to cover your own wage and you have to cover his wage every week. So then, let's say, after about the third year, then you'll start making money on an apprentice. But for the first 2 years, you're going to lose money. So you could have 60 grand given to him and have no money back for it. So that's my only problem with it. It's like that. It is very expensive, especially for sole traders and to smaller companies.
Do many people
that can't absorb those costs?
Yeah. Do many people, Kieran, contact you looking for an apprenticeship in construction?
They do. And another thing is, let's say some lads who have 2 years done with someone else might ring and say, "I'm looking for a change and looking for more money," you know. So Like you get it as something. I fear a few young fellows.
So there's demand out there. There's people looking. Yeah. There's definitely more demand.
What are they like everyone isn't going to go to college. Like everyone isn't going to go down the third level route. So like
We'll try and reconnect with you there, Ciarán, just on the phone line. A text from a listener to say, I'm currently doing an apprenticeship in cybersecurity. I just want to add to the point about wages. I'm currently on €230 per week. I'm working at least 37 and a half hours. It's less than social welfare. I'm lucky I live at home. Otherwise, it would be absolutely impossible. But it's been the hardest time of my life financially, says this texter. Another listener to make the point too. Most of the problems are the employer loses the apprentice for 6 months a year to go to college. My friend from Cork moved to Sligo to do his college course. The starting pay, very similar to social welfare payments, so I felt there was no incentive to attract other apprentices. And finally, more bureaucracy, says James. That's exactly what the country needs to help out the housing situation. More regulation, more red tape. Surely the rulemakers are out of touch. 087 1400 106, the WhatsApp number. Ciarán Breen there, Shannon Conroy, Donal O'Loughlin and Jim Ahern. Thanks a million, Jim, for getting in touch. Jim's the co-owner of TradePath.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.